Wildfires, hurricanes, flooding, tornadoes, melting ice caps, and rising seas. There's a lot to be worried about these days. And for some of us, it's, well, just too much. It is for Amy, who is barely in her 30s, but already facing the existential crisis of her life. What can a loving husband do to help his troubled wife get a grip and pull out of this malaise? Let's drop into their living room and listen in on Solastalgia by Sylvia Reed.
I've been hearing sounds coming from, I don't know where, somewhere in my head, maybe. It's been happening since my episode. Can you hear it? At first it scared me. I walked around trying to find the source. I'm alone all day, but it's not like I'm really alone because David calls me constantly, checking to make sure I'm okay, and I haven't gone off the deep end again. I'm not sure if he's more worried about me or himself, how I've made him look. I made an impression, let's just say. People are talking about it. I think maybe David is worried about how it'll affect him, his business. People may not want him to do their taxes because they'd have to have contact with him and they might feel like they have to ask about me or even more awkward, pretend like nothing happened. They might find it easier to go somewhere else for accounting needs, some office where the accountant's wife isn't a freak show. It's mesmerizing, isn't it? Sometimes I find myself swaying to the sounds like seagrass or something floating through the water. When we were first married, I wanted to get a small fountain for the house, but David was afraid it would make him feel like he has to pee. The sound doesn't go on all day. I'll hear it for a bit, and right when I'm starting to feel myself breathe, right when I'm starting to settle in and accept sound and enjoy it, even, it'll stop. And it'll be quiet again. After my episode, I went to a therapist. She's sort of a woo woo, if you know what I mean. She said my second chakra is likely out of balance, and I need to do some things to bring it into balance. The second chakra is just below my belly button. It's represented by water, the therapist said. I guess that makes sense. I'm a Scorpio, a water sign. She wants to work with me on it, but for now she suggested breathing exercises, and she told me to go for a walk, a mindfulness walk, she called it. No phone, no earbuds, just be mindful. What's around you, she said, be in the moment, notice. So I walked. I went a few miles, and I was mindful. I was in the moment, and I noticed that there were no bugs. Not one single bug. I got down on my hands and knees on the sidewalk where there's a seam between the concrete pieces and I looked at the line of dirt, thinking I'd see some ants marching through. Nope, nothing. When I was little, I loved doodle bugs. Some people call them roly-polies, but I called them doodle bugs. They look like teeny tiny little gray Volkswagens and they curl up and roll when you try to pick them up. I'd find them so easily when I was little, just by moving a stone from its spot on the ground or looking under a cluster of leaves beneath a tree. So I decided to veer off the sidewalk into the yard of an old home that's vacant and do some searching. The bugs must be hiding, right? I walked through the yard and found some rocks and leaves under a tree, and I moved them aside. No bugs! So the only thing I became mindful of on my walk is that birds and lizards and frogs aren't finding much sustenance at the nature buffet. And I teared up a little. Maybe if we had a kid, things would be different. I'd be so busy changing diapers and dealing with sleep deprivation, I wouldn't have time to focus on the silly things like the fact that the bugs are disappearing. My best friend has a 2-year-old. I called her and told her I was afraid because all the bugs are disappearing, and she said, "That's why you called? You scared the crap out of me. When I saw you were actually calling and not texting, I thought it was something really big, like David is cheating on you or you found a lump or something. Bugs? Don't ever scare me like that again, Amy." There's a lady who lives on my street who walks all the time. She came by as I was finishing my bug investigation, and I said to her, "There are no bugs." "Pardon me," she said, and she took an earbud out of her ear. "Sorry," I said, "I didn't realize you were listening to music." "That's okay," she said. "Do you need something?" "There are no bugs," I said. She just looked at me. I repeated, there are no bugs! Huh, she said. That's weird. Have a nice day. And she walked on. Therapist said it's important for me to get out of my bathrobe and engage with the world. Put on some lip gloss. She said, get back out there. Everybody makes mistakes. I don't think I can, I said. Why not try, she said. Because of the world, I said. Because of the world. And California and the fires. And Australia and the fires. And the koalas and the kangaroos. 500 million beautiful animals gone. And everyone cares about koalas and kangaroos because they're the cutest animals on the planet. But what about all the other animals that aren't as photogenic? Like the bugs! Does anyone mourn them? Because of the world. And the tornadoes and the hurricanes. And the rising seas and the polar bears, also very cute. And the people who just say, huh, that's weird. And then they walk away and go on living without a concern because they have diapers to change and butts to wipe and mouths to feed and tweets to write and Facebook to check and texts to respond to and calls to answer and Instagram to check and influencers who can compel them to buy shoes they can't afford and dresses and shirts and purses and sunglasses, but not the world. They can't make them care about the world because the world isn't as sexy as a new outfit. The world is depressing. Climate change is depressing and they'd rather not think about it. And the world, and the world, and the world!
Amy?
Oh! I didn't hear you come in. You're home early.
Well, things were slow, so I...
I see you went to the store. Your Publix bag. And your mask. It's still hanging from your ear. That's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Oh, yeah. I guess I forgot to take it off all the way.
Is everything okay at work?
Of course. Yeah, everything's fine. So, I know this guy from the car dealership. He's actually a client, but you don't know him. And he talked to the head guy at the dealership on my behalf, on our behalf, and told him we're good people and you just made a mistake. And his manager agreed to talk to me about what happened. So he talked and he said they understand why you did what you did because, this is him talking, the media gets everyone all freaked out about things like the environment. And he said they're willing to work with us on this. The manager's actually a really nice guy, Amy. And just because he sells Hummers doesn't make him a bad guy.
You talked to him?
Yeah, I hope you're okay with that. I was just trying to do damage control. And it was a really good talk. He said all they want is restitution. And he's going to let the state attorney's office know. It won't be easy to pay for the damage, but we've got some money saved up. We got this, right? They don't want to see you go to jail. They just want to recoup what they lost. And also, he thought it might be beneficial for you to have some counseling so you can figure out a way to manage and get along in the world as it is. Because it's going to take time, Amy. I mean, that's me talking, not the Hummer guy. There's going to be some genius who comes along and figures out how to fix things, how to fix the world. I really believe that. But in the meantime, you have to figure out how to live with the way things are now.
You want me to be the girl you married.
Oh, yes. She was fun. She liked to go to parties and mingle with other people, and I'd hear her laugh from across the room. God, I miss that laugh. And I love that she didn't need me to have a good time. She didn't need to cling to me at a party because she was so full of life herself and just so amazing. She glowed. Everyone wanted to be with her. But I was the one, the lucky guy. I was the one she went home with. I was the luckiest guy in the world because I got to take her home with me. Oh, sometimes she'd just start singing some random song, and her voice wasn't very good. I mean, it was really kind of awful. But in the cutest way possible. I loved it when she did that. I loved her so much. I love her so much. I love you so much.
I know what I have. This thing that's wrong with me, it's called solastalgia.
I've never heard that word.
It's a new word. They had to make it up. For the way things are now, it means I'm homesick.
But you're home.
No, it doesn't feel like home. They needed a word for what I'm feeling. I guess that must mean I'm not the only one. Other people must have it. It's a homesickness you get when you're home, but nothing looks or feels the same because the environment has changed. And I don't think there's a cure. Are you listening to me? Why are you looking at your phone when I'm talking to you? There they are again. The sounds. Did you do that with your phone?
I did.
Why?
I'm trying to find a cure. I'm trying to make you better.
You've been playing these sounds with your phone?
Yep. Through Alexa.
It is really beautiful. What is it?
Sounds of a healthy coral reef.
It does seem to calm me.
I was watching Trevor Noah the other night after you'd already gone to bed. And he said they're using sound therapy on dying coral reefs to lure the fish back, and it's working. It's actually working. They pipe in the sound to the dying reef, and the fish start to come, lured by the sound. And they think it might restore the dying reef, life to the dying reef. Isn't it amazing, Amy? It's just so amazing. Some genius thought of that. So I thought maybe it'll bring you back. I just want you back. Please, come back to me.
I don't know if I can. Thank you for these beautiful sounds. I'm really gonna try to come back.
Solastalgia was written by Sylvia Reed and directed by Michelle Strauss. Tom Apospros played David, and Amy was played by Carrie McQueen. The stage manager was Donna DeFont. Technical director Ren Pearson was responsible for recording, editing, and mastering all of our radio plays. Narration by Maddie Cashin. Solastalgia is copyright protected and may not be used in any way without the author's permission. This audio production is copyright by Theater Odyssey, all rights reserved.